One, two, three, no life without wife. Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, 21.
No life,
no life
without wife.
Without life.
21.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Hello and welcome to Entertainment of Excellence, the podcast where we talk about films, TV,
and Redman.
All of it. Hi, I'm Ollie.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Ben.
Today we're talking about the 1994 film. 2004 film. Bride and Prejudice.
Ooh.
This will contain spoilers.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, before I start, I want to just warn people that the spoiler warning applies to Pride and Prejudice as well.
Which is a book.
So if you've not read the book or seen the movie or seen the BBC miniseries...
By Jeanne Austen.
Based on this.
It's it's based on Pride and Prejudice. So if you don't want that spoiled, you know, be careful. Spoilers here. So the story... Is
it does have a story.
Why does it feel like this is harder to describe than Playtime? The story is that there's a family in... I've already forgotten the place name it said at the start. A family in India. They want their daughters to get married. And then there's people come from England and America looking for wives. But then Mr. Darcy... Oh, he's grumpy and he's...
American.
And he's American and ignorant to other cultures. And he's just quite bad the whole time. He's quite meany.
Yeah.
And then Adam Sandler arrives.
just to be clear, this is the Indian Adam Sandler.
So that looks a lot like Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. He's got the glasses, he's got the beard, he's got the frantic,
dance moves.
The dance moves, the frantic demeanor. At one point, he even has the the pushed back hair of him in that movie. And he arrives, then there's basically just a lot of love triangles. There's a British man that says hello.
Yeah. Hello.
And then he
tries to nick the 16-year-old.
Well, Lolita. Who's the main character?
Like the film.
Wait, this is in the movie. She says, someone says, what's your name? She says, Lolita. And they're like, oh, that's a cute name. Like the movie.
Like that cute film.
Like the, you know, the cute movie. Oh, what a wholesome time. And she falls in love with the British man that says hello.
Hello.
But then he goes off with her sister called like Lucky. It sounds like Lucky. So they call her Lucky. And she wears a shirt that says Lucky. And so she's like, oh, but I thought he loves me. But then he doesn't send her an email. So, and then it turns out he knocked up a 16-year-old once and then like got money to cover it up. And he's a bad man. So they get rid of him. And then she falls in love with Mr. Darcy because he sits next to her on a plane. I think that's the plot.
Yeah.
And there's a red man on the plane.
Oh, there's a... Sorry, I forgot. Oh,
so before we start... One of the actual key plot lines is during this integral scene between Mr. Darcy and whatever her name
Lolita.
Is.
Lolita. Come on. Lolita. Like the movie, but with an A.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So between the lovely, wholesome movie and Mr. Darcy, in the background, there's an extra on the plane. And I don't know if you follow us on TikTok and Instagram. If you do, you'll have seen him. He's very red.
He's very...
old and very dead looking. He doesn't move much, does he?
He looks like he's holding his breath for quite a long time.
He's just kind of sat there like this.
I was waiting for him to progressively redder.
Was waiting for him to end up turning blue, if I'm honest. But
yeah, yeah.
He stayed red.
Turning red.
Yeah, so that was not just a reference to the movie Turning Red, but it was also some color symbolism, because red signifies love.
Yeah.
And there's a whole scene in, there's a whole scene in a Mexican restaurant where there's a bunch of red stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there is. There's a rose.
Yeah, yeah, there's you know, one of them's wearing red.
Yeah.
And yeah, it all just comes back to the red man, really.
And if you look really hard, he is actually hiding in the flowers.
He is.
Yeah, if you look, you squint.
He obviously chose invisible rather than flying. Yeah, yeah.
So the vibe of this movie is it's supposed to be a kind of fun, like Bollywood-esque. It isn't Bollywood though, because it is quite British.
Well, if you're wondering why we chose this, because it's quite obscure.
Basically, yeah, give us the backstory.
It was year 9 geography, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just at high school we were shown this. We can't exactly remember why, because it didn't seem to link to any of the stuff we'd done.
We didn't study anything about India
or like even
that.
Movies.
No, yeah. Like, if anything, it would make more sense in English if we'd done like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, the closest link we could find is we did a topic on China and there's a boat that was like the China Eye or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But to be fair, we only watched the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So we could remember the first couple of dance numbers. But
yeah.
But we thought it was like proper Bollywood, but you know, upon doing some digging, it was actually quite surprising that it's not. It's really kind of a British film.
Yeah, it's the director of Bend It Like Beckham this. And also, the writer, I can't remember, but there's loads of British people in this.
Yeah.
So it's a Bollywood interpretation-ish. Again, it's quite British, so they just speak English throughout, mainly, apart from some of the songs. And so it's got a lot of fun dance numbers. Which, like, the dancing's pretty good.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But the
dancing's much better than the singing.
Yeah, the lyrics will get on. Oh, I think
the singing itself was all right. The sinking
and the lyrics felt dodgy. But, like, it has a fun vibe, but it's almost, the whiplash is almost too much at times. There's a lot of early 2000s energy of men wearing tight skinny jeans and nose tops, quick zooms, cuts. There was a scene on a beach where it's like they're surrounded by people, then it starts getting dark and then it's just them two, and then suddenly there's more people there and she's playing guitar at a campfire, then suddenly it's like a club on the beach.
Oh,
and it's like, and this is literally, that happens as fast as I said it.
Oh yeah, there's just like a bunch of cuts and there's no like apparent no sort of line between them. It's just a bunch of like snapshots from throughout the day.
Yeah,
it's just kind of odd though.
It did seem to have quite a big pacing issue, because there were sequences like that where it just moved so rapidly. It was genuinely hard to keep track of what was going on, and some bits were like so slow.
I mean, to be fair, every scene with like Adam Sandler in, got his name. It's Adam Sandler.
That is his name.
They were like, I really enjoyed it because they seemed to take so much longer than any other scene where it was just him being like awful. and going and then like saying something about, I feel like if it was made now, he would have talked about crypto if it was made
now. Oh, he would.
But instead he talks about his like property and investments. I can't even remember how America's awesome.
He would definitely own a couple of NFTs.
Yes, he would. He'd
wouldn't. Probably email them to his friends.
Oh, he would.
He would, yeah. He'd
not check this out.
Not
Bored
Ape. No, he would not. I think he'd go more niche. He'd be annoyed that Bored Ape was too mainstream.
He'd be going on about how Bored Ape sort of destroyed the presence of NFTs in the media.
Exactly.
Just devalued some of his investments.
Yeah, exactly.
But one of the important things, and I need to stress this is financial advice, is you have to go out and buy houses to be rich.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, once you've got a big four-bedroom place in America, you're rich.
Yeah, just buy a house.
Yeah, once you've spent the money, you're rich. It's all right.
Yeah. So that's all you really need to do. So go do it, really. I mean,
what's
come
stopping
on.
You?
Chase your dreams.
Chase your dreams. Another plot point is that she's sexy because she reads Pride and Prejudice on the beach.
Yeah, that's kind of meta.
And that was crazy because I was like, oh, that's like the story that's happening now with a guy called William Darcy. Like, she's reading it. Was she not reading it going like, oh, the love interest is William Darcy, a brooding, annoying man that the love interest falls in love with after she's trying to be married off to someone more wealthy by her mum? This feels a bit familiar.
I'm going to skip ahead to the end. And
that would be awesome if it was like a Truman Show reveal.
That would be cool. Kaufman's Pride and Prejudice.
I'd love to see a Kaufman Pride and Prejudice. A Kaufman Bride and Prejudice.
Oh, well, that's a different story.
His dance numbers would involve a lot more dead pigs, though, I think. You know. But it's so it has the fun aesthetic, I think.
Yeah.
But at times it's a bit disorienting. And I think that my main problem is the songs just aren't catchy enough.
Yeah.
Apart from No Life Without Life, which when we hadn't sang it for a while, I'd forgotten the melody again. But
oh, yeah.
The only reason that's catchy is because the image of Adam Sandler in his tight USA flag, like, thong, doesn't leave much to the imagination. That is in the middle of the song where they go, like, maybe he's good in bed. And they're like, maybe not. Actually.
He's just like...
he goes... He's my favourite character.
Yeah, well, I feel like he was the best because he just fully committed to being goofy. And I feel like that's when this film was at its best, when it was just...
When he discovered halfway through the film that he could laugh by going... and he just kept doing it every time.
Why did he only do that towards the end? Because do you reckon if this was shot out of order, then maybe it was just the screenwriter halfway through, like, you know what? Need to add this guy a good laugh.
Well, there's something to be said about that. There's sort of a few things tend to shift sort of around the halfway mark. So one of them is the actual storyline between Lolita and Mr. Darcy. Because, I mean, I've not read Pride and Prejudice, but you've read the book and you've seen the film. Is Mr. Darcy in it a lot?
Well, something that, I mean... I can't remember the book perfectly, but he's not in it a ton, but he is like referenced way more than he was in this. He feels more omnipresent, whereas in this it was like he was in it at the start and then it kind of felt abandoned and then he just like became the focus.
He gets talked about quite a fair bit and it feels like that the bit where they're actually falling in love doesn't start happening 20 minutes before the film ends.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I can't even... Yeah, it's not.
There was no insight into her opinion on Darcy much. It was always like,
she was just like, I don't like him.
Yeah, I didn't like him. But it was like,
here there was no very clear animosity.
Yeah, and even right until like 10 minutes were left in the film.
Yeah, they kind of got a little bit closer after the plane ride, and then she's just like, oh yeah, I hate you again.
Yeah, well, for good reason.
Oh yeah, but it's just,
and then you're like, how long's actually left for them to wrap this up?
And it kind of gets wrapped up a bit, and then towards the end, you think they're gonna kiss, and they just kind of embrace.
They do a little hug. The final scene where, she falls in love with him, I guess, is it cuts to him like now he can suddenly play this like traditional drum, and you're like, oh, I don't know about this.
You just see her and it just cuts to like a bunch of Indian guys and there's him like dressed all in white in the middle just like with legs kind of spread.
Looking really awkward while the drummers in the background are like grinning maniacally at them. I think that the performance, I think that the actress of Lolita was actually really good.
Yeah,
she was.
She had some great like... I'm upset faces and also able to be quite like snarky, but not totally unlikable because you're like, yeah, she's in the right there. Things like that.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Darcy just kept putting on the like, face, the kind of, oh, I'm a hurt little boy. So I'm not sure about his, it was fine. I think his performance, it was fine, but it was nowhere near as good as Adam Sandler. Oh. What a job he did in this. I mean, wow.
Oscar worthy.
Oscar. Yeah. Oh, he should have won the Oscar. I think the mum was actually really good.
She was. Yeah.
A lot of the acting was pretty decent, I thought.
Yeah, it was. It was good. And some of the side characters. There's some like classic British actors. There's Indira
Varma,
that's the surname, who's been in Game of Thrones, and I've already forgotten everything she was in. She was in Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning recently.
Torchwood.
You may have seen her in. Torchwood, and Doctor Who.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, she was in Obi-Wan Kenobi, yeah.
I've
just remembered her character. Oh, yeah, it is her.
She just has not aged at all in 20 years. It's scary.
And then
like
there's
Paul Rudd.
Darcy's sister who shows up to be like, oh, yeah, by the way, he's terrible. I'm saying that in a way that I think he's not terrible because I don't realize it's about you. But she is in The Handmaid's Tale because I was like, oh, I recognize her being dodgy. And I think spoilers for The Handmaid's Tale, but starts off being nice. I'm really worried because she either betrays the main character or she like is just absolutely abused by her, like. Which, I mean, obviously happens a lot by the, you know, the rich people that own her or whatever. But I think that she does end up being a bit evil. But maybe she's just not, and I'm slandering
this character. It's been a while since I've watched it as well, so I can't really remember very clearly.
Yeah, I think that's who Elizabeth Moss is friends with at the start, but I don't know.
Right.
Maybe not. But she's been in lots of stuff.
Wrong.
Yeah. There's a few actors that have gone on to do bigger stuff, so they got some good picks.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was pretty good.
I mean, this clearly had a decent budget behind it.
It must have done.
I mean, some of the look of it is a bit dated, but, you know, that's kind of what you expect from 2004/1994, as I said.
And, that's how dated it seems. Yeah. Wow. Feels 30 years old.
Yeah.
Even though they've got emails, Ollie.
Oh.
Emails play an integral part. Johnny Wickham, who is the guy that is him who got a 16-year-old pregnant and turned out to be a terrible person.
I love you. I want to take you back to London.
It wasn't him, was it, that was going? Oh, was it him?
That did what?
Well, there was someone else. No, it was the other guy. Was it Barrage that was like, I'll email you when I get back?
It was Barrage. Yeah, yeah.
Barrage was like, I'll email you when I get back
this
to London.
Really sad scene of just the
three of them checking their emails and it's just no new mail.
Massive pathetic fallacy of rain and then dark, sad music.
As soon as the no new mail thing comes up, it cuts to Lolita singing on a balcony. She doesn't get up dramatically from the computer and go up. It just cuts to her singing on the balcony. And you're like, whoa.
Tell if that's like just aged terribly because of... Oh, at the time, it was like actually quite...
It must have been cheesy. Be cheesy at the time.
Well, it's not as cheesy as now because like emails weren't really...
The MSN email.
I feel like it's definitely aged poorly.
You're telling me Indian Matchmaker is aged poorly if the mum just like scrolling through the three people that came up or whatever.
Like a basic HTTP size.
That was top quality website.
People are going to be saying that about Instagram and TikTok in 20 years' time, which you should follow us on whilst they still exist, at EOV Podcast on both of those platforms.
Exactly. Good plug. Good plug.
Good plug.
I was about to say speaking of plugs, but I couldn't figure out a way to... Speaking of plugs,
Adam Sandler's butt.
Oh, okay. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
The three swimming pools joke.
That was a good
They've
joke.
Got plugs in them. I didn't get the joke at first, which is...
There's three pools. Poor,
but I think it is a good joke.
One
is
hot water, one is cold water, and one's for when
What's
you
the
don't
third
want
one
to
for?
Swim.
Oh, you... There's timing involved, Ben. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
third one's for when you
This
don't
is why I wasn't in Pride and Prejudice, obviously.
And then they reference it later.
They reference it later because he has two swimming pools. Adam Sandler.
Imagine only having two swimming pools.
Well, one's hot, one's cold, but he doesn't have the third for when he doesn't want to swim.
It's because he's always swimming. He's always beach.
Is that the plot point? Oh, yeah, Ken's in this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's someone that looks like Beach Ken.
Oh, that scene where the surrounded by the choir thing and then they disappear.
There is a huge choir. Like, it starts panning across and you're like, how many of these people are there?
You think it would be a smallish gospel choir of maybe 20, 30 people, but no, it keeps going.
It goes for so long. And then they like crowd around them, have a big dance number, and then they fade away. And then I was like, oh, is it all a dream?
Oh.
But I think it was.
And it was all a dream.
Don't know what it was.
They just stood there for.
They just stood there for hours.
Yeah. So this film has some editing issues. But
Oscar for best editing.
Well, still better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Best editing equals most editing.
That's true. Yeah.
I think Mile 22's editing was pretty good.
Oh, they got a lot of cuts in there.
Well, I think the editor should have an Oscar just for having to deal with that many cuts.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. You know, like most script. Is that one? Most original script. Oh, wait, no, that's actually...
Most movie.
I love... Oh, that's my favourite one. I feel like Satan Tango kind of rigged it a bit.
Yeah. Cheating.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, come on, no one's going to beat that. But either
we're jumping
Irishman
all over the place with this one, aren't we?
I think it fits the vibe of Brian
Tango and Pride and Prejudice.
No, I mean, the jumping all over the place. Yeah. We're matching the energy.
Have fun with the timestamps.
What are they all about
right,
now?
8:20 about the music. 8:34 about the Adam Sandler. 8:35 about the Red Man.
And now you have to put in the timestamp about us talking about the timestamps.
Oh, that's how we know we've gone meta.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of meta.
She was reading Pride and Prejudice, the book.
I was going to say, but we already mentioned that.
Did you know she was reading Pride and Prejudice, the book? And he looks for a girl that is intelligent, can read books. No, it wasn't can read books.
No, maybe it was well, yeah.
And can speak multiple languages.
Ooh.
So she's pretty perfect. And that was while he was at Oxford.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he went to Oxford, I guess.
But he's American.
He's American and lives in California, I think. But his family are in New York, and that's why he likes India, because the family can all get together more easily. But his dad died. I swear that's what he said. He was like, I love India because all the family can get together, but my dad died. I was like, what?
I do not remember that.
The rest of my family are in New York, so we can't meet them.
What did you think of the deep commentary on imperialism and different sides of India?
Where they said, oh, you're a colonizer. And he's like, oh, I'm American. And she's like, exactly. Yeah, that was pretty good.
I think America bad.
It felt like it was trying to say stuff that made sense about like tourists and the view of India from, you know, Britain and America and other Western countries, but then also kind of like fumbled over itself. It was really strange.
Because like there definitely are a ton of people who will just go to like a like walled resort in a country and have like every like comfort available to them, and they'll, you know, maybe try a curry, and that's the spice of local culture. You know, maybe try a bit of dancing or something, but all within this very like very westernized like slice of like upper class area, and not actually, you know, explore the country itself.
Yeah,
I did get what it was trying to do with that, but also it was a weird way of doing it.
To be honest, that's one of my main criticisms of the original text, is that it all seems so isolated within these like highly upper class aristocrats. So it was quite interesting having a couple of different perspectives, even if that was still, it was still like a similar class level, but it was, you know, the regional differences at least provided like a bit of variety rather than just everything being in these really fancy parties, well, big homes.
It's odd because it's the same where it's, they do, because in Pride and Prejudice, right, I've forgotten the main character's name, but Keira Knightley is, like, her family is lower class.
Yeah.
And farm stuff, but they, when they attend all the big glamorous parties, that is, like, new and a step up for her. But in this, all the big glamorous parties are, like, thrown by the Indian family.
Yeah.
So it does subvert that, but it's also kind of, but I don't know, it confuses, because that's supposed to be that it's showing this kind of vibrant culture, but it's still in like huge
mansions.
That is true.
But at least it's kind of, it realizes that and references.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
I think they did make a conscious effort to change some stuff. I mean, it did deviate quite a lot from the source material, which, I mean, that's but you know, this good or a bad thing, but
it's still it's got different. Like the Mr. Darcy's a prick.
But oh yeah, well obviously it's got similarities, but yeah. I just mean it is its own thing. It's not just like they. I mean,
it's not Romeo plus Juliet
exactly. Where they just have a few things that like update it with guns and that.
Yeah, but the same dialogue.
Yeah. Although one thing I didn't feel it did, like even try as well, was it. I felt like it wanted to say something about arranged marriages.
Yeah, it didn't really say anything about it. Because it started arguing like the good things about them or like that they're misrepresented.
But then, yeah, it's like the Western view of marriage has higher divorce rates and it's actually, I don't know if that was a defense of it or whatever, but
yeah.
After that, it was just like, you know, one of the other sisters just had an arranged marriage and everyone was just like, yep, good, cool.
Yeah, but it was also, so, but there was also then one that was framed as bad, like, because there was the whole thing of having the Adam Sandler person that it was almost like it was seemingly being forced and it was trying to say it was bad, but then it ends up being fine anyway. And like, I understand, because the point it's making is that there is a common misconception of conflating arranged marriage with forced marriage, which are two very different things.
Yeah.
Whereas arranged marriage is still quite, it's a very common practice and it ends up usually very happily. It's just different ways of doing things. But it didn't, like, to me, it didn't like properly show that process and seems to be a bit fumbled and like about what was arranged and whether they just picked their partners. Any like it didn't clear up those misconceptions for me.
Yeah.
No. So yeah, which was a bit sad. They could have done. Yeah.
I feel like even if they'd done it in defense of arranged marriages, that would have been.
No, that's what I think it was doing.
Really?
Yeah, she was defending them the whole time. The whole time it was like it seemed like it was trying to say that they're not the same as forced marriages, and you can have these happy outcomes. But it didn't do it very well, which is why
it would have just been better to have that a bit more explicit. Even you know,
yeah. Well, I mean, that just shows how not well they did it because we thought they were saying two completely different things.
I feel that's just a general problem this film had. It was almost trying to cover a bit too much. Like the story was almost a few too many threads, I think. And often that's why like the whole Darcy payoff didn't fully feel earned because they had to rush it towards the end because they were focused on other things.
There were so many characters where we kept going like, they had mentioned, oh, these two have run off and that's bad. And we're like, oh, those two were
together.
And then these, okay.
And that almost seems like it's a slight issue with it being a musical as well, because a lot of the runtime has to be spent singing.
But also it didn't feel much like a musical. There weren't many songs.
There were a lot at the start. A good three or four. But then it just kind of stopped. We had No Life Without Wife, and then it kind of stops again, and then you had that one where she's singing on the rooftop for like 30 seconds, and then that's it until the end.
Yeah, they didn't have defined...
No, it was a bit all over the place. But I just mean in terms of the total duration of the film was...
Yeah.
It's shorter than it seems because you have to pad it out a bit.
The singing bits at the start, you could have used that to establish some characters a bit better.
Although if they hadn't been there, then this film might not have stuck with us, you know. That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of the singing, what have we got any other criticisms or points about it?
Yeah, I mean, we'd mentioned that the lyrics and the melodies just seemed a little bit off. Like, the melodies weren't really catchy and the lyrics sounded a little bit odd. And I don't think it was because either of them were, like, bad necessarily. It's just you kind of expect from a musical sort of like a really catchy, powerful hook that you can sing along to and you get annoyed when your family keeps playing the soundtrack in the car. Not talking from experience here, Matilda.
But also, it's
you're not
going
to be playing the Pride and Prejudice soundtrack.
Oh yeah, I will. I'm going to annoy the piss out of that.
It's like, to me, the lyrics were just seemed a bit like janky. Like the rhythm wasn't always perfect or didn't perfectly match the last one. When it had a couple of lines where they like were run on lines, but instead of feeling like an interesting variation, they just felt like run on lines.
Yeah.
And it was like all of it rhymed, but it was like, you know, feels kind of lazy words to pick. Mm. It was like, if this was an improvised musical, I'd be like,
great.
Wow, that's impressive. But I assume they've written it down before they all sing it in
Not
unison.
Not everyone can freestyle like you, Tom.
They had
together as 20 people doing it as well.
And they had someone doing the music and then two dedicated lyric writers.
Plus additional lyric writers.
Yeah, so you'd have thought maybe it'd have turned out a bit better.
Yeah, and I don't know how it breaks down.
Because even thinking back to when... I mean, this has been on our list for a while. We did this list of films we're currently working through in like late 2021. Oh my God. But the only thing that really stuck with me that kind of made me think about it was the dancing mainly.
Yeah.
I mean, we only saw 20 minutes of it in that geography lesson like years ago.
But I think the choreography was generally...
The choreography was fantastic. Yeah. And it was probably even better than I remember it, to be honest.
They even go down to their fingers. They're doing all these dances and then they're doing like...
Yeah.
There is one kind of funny little bit where there's... a sort of what feels like it should be an intimate close-up shot of some characters doing something, and there's just a bunch of like backup dancers in the back going like
50 people doing this.
But I as funny as that was, I did actually like it. I think it added to the whole sort of fun, like cheesy but enjoyable vibe.
And just like the outfits and the colours as well, is also popped.
Yeah, but still had the weird early 2000s saturation.
It's like if you put a filter over this thing.
Yeah, if only it was... Oh, if it came out today.
Yeah.
It would
be masterpiece.
Masterpiece.
Yeah. And one other thing that's a bit odd, and it feels a bit odd to say, I kind of expected it to be bad, or at least like not as enjoyable as it was. Like...
Yeah, it's kind of strange on our last episode we were talking about like middle of the road films and then
we brought up this.
I can see why. Yeah, it wasn't bad, and I feel like a certain audience would like really really like it. I wasn't too keen on it, but I think it's definitely got its strengths.
Yeah, I was honestly disappointed that it wasn't more fun.
A few bits that like were really funny, but I feel like they weren't. Like there was stuff that we kind of just noticed in the background or things like the red guy and the hello and stuff.
The more boring bits of this film compared to something like Playtime, we ended up looking in the background.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because
we should have done that for Playtime.
maybe it's because we just watched Playtime. We were so used to looking in the background. We're just like, oh my God, red man.
Guy. Jack Tati has taught us to look in the background of Bride and Prejudice for a red guy.
And those like backup dancers in the back. But yeah, I mean, that's not to say the film doesn't have its issues. It has plenty of them, but I just did enjoy it more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
The problem is, right, I wanted there to be more, like, the songs just didn't hit. It's like the songs were pretty fun, but I was just wanting more. I'm just worried because I think that I didn't enjoy it as much. Like, the songs just didn't hit as much fun for me, and I don't know, it seemed to lose the vibrancy in the middle. It just kind of stopped.
Yeah, that's true.
Same here. I mean, it's the choreography and the acting and everything that kind of
that really
stand
holds
out
up.
For me. I think the music was a huge disappointment.
Editing, some of the music was let down. The
plot got
storyline got
towards
messy.
Some of the editing choices were just really odd with the like beach scenes and that.
Yeah.
So, and just that it kept like the fact towards the end, it just kept changing location as well. It just made it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, like, they were in LA, and then they were in
Britain,
somewhere else, and then they were in Britain, and then they were in by a canal, and then a movie theater, and then they're back in a house.
The pacing was so strange because you'd have these long sequences, and then you'd have just this quick montage where tons of things happen in quick succession.
But it's not even like a montage. No, it's not just a montage. Really short scenes.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, a montage should even make sense because you kind of know what you're expecting
with
a montage. It's
an unintentional montage that tries to progress the plot, but you can't follow it because it's not...
Montage is essentially like a better way of just fast-forwarding the plot.
Yeah.
You're kind of showing the plot moving, but without all the detail. This just felt like someone filmed a bunch of like full scenes, realized that the film is going to be like 5 hours long, and just really cut them down. Yeah.
See, this film, I feel like, should have been longer and shorter at the same time.
Yeah.
So, like, they did way too much, and they also needed more time.
But I feel like the middle was too dragged out, and the end was too rushed.
Yeah,
which I kind of enjoyed the vibe of the middle bit because there's like quite a bit of Adam Sandler stuff.
That's true.
If it hadn't been for that, that middle would have felt like it dragged so much.
Adam Sandler carried the middle.
He did carry.
He really did.
Like, what would that the second act have been without him?
Oh my god!
I don't know if I could have stomached it.
Oh, it would have been so dull. It would have just been like the characters like just doing stuff and moping around about the email. And
yeah, they're sitting around in their like grey t-shirts. They've completely lot of those just going, oh, I hate everything and I'm bored, I'm going to be alone forever. And you're like, luckily we've got Adam Sandler going,
a conversation at the meal table, but no Adam Sandler. So it is just them being like, we're all going to be alone.
Yeah.
We're going to die spinsters.
Where would Adam Sandler be with it without his one of two pictures of the house that he bought?
Yeah. And then the snake belly dancing scene.
Oh, the snakes.
That was even funnier because of Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
because
he did have...
you had what's his face? I've forgotten his name now.
Darcy.
You know, the guy from the book. I've forgotten his name. But he was sitting there looking a bit confused. But boy, Adam Sandler just like...
He had his mouth open. And then there's a bit where you think the dance has stopped and then she gets back up and then both of them go like... And they're both looking at each other whether they should clap. That's fun.
Oops. And with that, let's rate the film.
Would you say it lived up to its title? There was a bride.
There was prejudice as well.
Yeah, there was some prejudice against arranged marriages.
And idio general. But also against Mr. Darcy, if you think about it.
Would you say that Mr. Darcy is a literally me character?
He's Patrick Bateman, so yeah.
He does have
Patrick Bateman mixed with, what's his face, Troy from High School Musical.
He is. Oh my God. I never saw that before. They literally stole High School Musical.
If you mash their faces together, you get his face.
He's like, what an all-star cast of Sandler and... Christian Bale.
Jack Tati.
And I've forgotten his name that's in High School Musical.
I want to say Jason Derulo.
It's not Jason Derulo. Oh, this is really going to annoy me.
And it had
the guy who was in Dirty Grandpa.
Yeah, it's him.
What's his?
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that that's your go-to Zac Efron movie. Oh, Dirty Grandpa!
Yeah. I need to rewatch Dirty Grandpa. That was a film.
Right, what would you
this
give it?
This is also a film.
This was also a film,
and... Well, so... I enjoyed it, generally. I definitely enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I didn't enjoy it anywhere near as much as I could. So, you know, I'm going to go...
How could you have enjoyed it?
What?
If you were high on
it. Just let it right here. I don't know. Makes as much sense as Pride and Prejudice, to be fair. So.
Yeah. So I'm going to rate it an and out of Pride and Prejudice.
No! What does that mean?
I'm going to go a 6.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Solid six lower than playtime.
Go on, Ollie.
Oh, you go first.
Oh, God, I'm going to go... I enjoyed it, but it was a big mess.
Yeah. It was a big mess.
I'm going to go 5. If the songs were catchy and I could like be sit belting these classic bangers out. It'd be a, it could be a 6 or a 7, but it just didn't hit. I think I enjoyed the experience of watching a movie with my friends.
Yeah,
that's true. That's on its thing. Own, it wouldn't have been as fun.
On its own, I still would have enjoyed the dancing, but in the middle, I would have been like, oh. Yeah.
If I was watching this at 9 a.m. without like much sleep, I would have watched the dancers and then gone straight back to sleep.
Yeah. Watched and No Life Without Life.
Missed Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
watched. And Red Guy.
Red Guy.
See, I understand this is going to be very, very controversial.
Oh,
I understand why the Pride and Prejudice novel is so acclaimed and everyone loves it, but I did not enjoy it very much.
Get out!
And I'm going to be honest, I would rather rewatch Pride and Prejudice than reread Pride and Prejudice.
I've read the book, but I'd rather rewatch Pride and Prejudice.
There's a reason I've never read it, because
it's just not for me, and
it just doesn't sound interesting.
Like why people like it, but it just kind of annoys me. But this film, it was definitely flawed, but it was fun. So I'm gonna go a 4.7.
Oh, wow, cool.
4.7.
Well,
I'm thinking I might bump mine down actually. But
go for it, Ben.
Oh, Ben, you can own it. You had a good time.
I'm thinking about like it compared to Playtime. Although,
but you had a good time, Ben.
No, I'll own it. I'll keep it at a 6.
Own it. Yes, good. That's what we love to see. Don't be swayed by other people's reviews, guys. But except our ones.
Finally filling in that sort of void between 6 and 2.
Yes. Right.
Right.
So this is a mid film.
It is mid.
Mid. Yeah, mid. I literally rated it the middest score, which it feels cruel to say like mid, but
mid.
Why does that feel worse than giving it a 5 out of 10? It was fun, but it was, you know,
a bit mid.
Yeah.
So we usually run a submission spotlight section, and we have had submissions. We just couldn't be bothered to watch them because we're very great people.
We're short on time.
Yeah.
Having
we're
said
banking
that.
Them.
Yeah. So we actually will rather? Probably have one next week. I assume. Sorry, next 2 weeks.
It's time for our bonus segment instead.
But before we do that, if you have a piece of media that you'd like us to review, send it in to entertainmentofexcellence.weebly.com.
Is that an email?
On the contact.
Yeah, I'm just writing an
email. Yeah, send us an email and we'll send one back with a kissing emoji at the end of it.
Exactly. Or just DM us on Instagram, or I guess, or TikTok or whatever.
At EOV Podcast, which stands for Entertainment of Excellence Podcast.
It does.
Should we have a jingle for the Would You Rather?
Whoa, off the dome.
Would you rather? I thought we were going to do the same one. What was that? Would you rather? There we go. That's
yeah,
the new
yeah,
jingle.
Yeah.
I remember we had a
would you?
We had a recommendations jingle that I only just remembered.
We did.
Is that ever
I'll do it next time.
Once in the actual episode itself, but
I'm just gonna do it. I think
would
we'll do
you
it. Rather?
Oh yeah.
We should just do it in episode. There's another podcast I listen to where they just sing the jingle and one of them goes ding.
Rather.
And she always remembers the sing, he always remembers the ding.
Go on.
Right. Oh, here's one.
Thank you.
Tell me if the card's bad. Oh, sorry.
Oh, this is a step up from last episode.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah.
I'm actually struggling this time of which one to
really
pick.
Ooh.
But I think I've got it, yeah.
Okay.
Should I go first this time?
Go on then.
Go on.
Do you remember the rules?
Well, you pick the one that you'd rather.
Pick the one, you can't pick both or neither.
That's right. Although you will be tempted to with this one. Okay. Would you rather wear a top hat every day?
Every day?
Really?
Every single day.
Not even on... even on
I got too excited by that. Sorry. Oh, fart joke. That's good. Good stuff. That's good stuff. Might have to pause the episode. Toxic waste. Sorry about that. I'm glad this is smell-o-vision.
4D. I hope
that picked up on mic.
On all three mics.
It's pretty loud. Sorry. I was steady. I was like, whoa! No control. Yeah. Ben's just standing over there. He's talking even though no one can hear him.
Should we even read?
Ben's asked, did you even read the question?
I think that's your answer there, isn't it?
What is it? Yeah. Or, so, sorry, but or. Wear a top hat every day.
Are you
going
to respond to this one?
Bart on Air Woods is what Ben said. Just
or wear an umbrella hat every day.
Or both.
Or.
Yeah. Oh, I can't pick. Yeah, one on each head, Ben. Do you want to sit down?
You're going to stay there.
I think it's gone. I'm acclimatised to it, at least.
Yeah, but it's like when you can't smell your own sweat.
Yeah, but I could smell it originally.
Yeah, well, that's because it would fucking rank.
The umbrella hat every day is more practical. Then you don't need an umbrella.
Yeah, but...
No, I'd go top hat because it just looks cooler.
I would go top hat as well. Like,
lead poisoning and all.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Hatters.
Mm.
Ben, what's yours?
Oh, what did I actually put?
Just scrummage in his pockets. Oh, there it is.
Oh.
Would you rather be able to read people's minds or be able to predict the future?
Oh.
It's a real thunker, that
I'd
one.
I'd say predict the future.
Oh, I would say read people's minds because I would hate to know the future.
Same, but I wouldn't want to, like, too intrusive to other people, yeah.
Oh, I don't care. I mean, I've already said I'd pick invisible. Although that was last episode. I'd actually pick fly. This is the payoff to last episode's bit. I would actually pick fly.
Not that episode of Breaking Bad.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd go read people's minds.
Mm.
Just because...
If you can tell what's happening in the future, I'm guessing you can't change the course of the future. You just know.
Well, that's the question.
Well, that's the whole... You know, when the whole time travel thing comes in, because once you know the future, yeah. If you try and change it, will you then change the future?
I know.
Or is it set?
Again, when we answered the
time traveling one,
it just gets too messy, doesn't it? So yeah. You don't really want to.
So I'd just ignore the whole time travel thing just and just read people's minds.
Minority Report, and, you know, he tries to change it, but doesn't work, you know? What kind of. No, does it? I can't remember. Never mind. No, it doesn't work. It's just different to how they expected. You know, so maybe you'll predict it wrong.
Oh,
right.
Maybe you'll get on the Minority Report is the alternate. I can't remember. That movie's great though. Okay, should we do mine? I think both of mine are quite good. Do you want to? If you want to hear,
go them. For both. Yeah,
because this first one is quite E of E related.
Okay.
And the
second one's a bit of fun.
Are you a Keno?
Should we do E of E related or a bit of fun?
We'll do a bit of fun.
Bit of fun first, and then get down to business.
Okay. Would you rather drive in a real life Mario Kart race?
Ooh,
or
that's dangerous.
Train a real life Pikachu.
Mario Kart race.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Really? I think I'd die in a real life. You
yeah,
get
but you're sick way to go out.
But if I think the stipulation that you can't die.
Oh,
so
like with the stipulation,
it's like
you're
in
die.
Game. You don't
okay, that'd
die,
be fun.
Yeah, you can just respawn.
Yeah, because training a real life Pikachu, that'd be frustrating, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because you
mean,
would.
I've got two
die.
Dogs.
Do you think if you get like one of the mushrooms, like you actually get high?
Oh, that'd be good.
That would be sick. What's the point of training a Pikachu?
Also, it'd be so annoying because you'd be like, you're trying to get them to zap something and they just zap you, and you're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Being thunderbolted or whatever. Sorry.
And plus, you
fans.
Were the one that wanted to be small in one of the questions we did off air.
It's true.
So if you got zapped with the small fire, that's what I call it, then you just become small anyway.
Mm. That's true. By small fire, you mean lightning.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Now the E of E deep Ooh. Question. Would you rather never read another book or never watch another film?
Oh my God. I would... Never watch another film, unfortunately, because...
oh my God, cover your ears,
If you could never
listeners.
Read another book...
Get out!
That encompasses, like, fiction and non-fiction.
Oh yeah, you'd fail your uni.
Yeah.
Oh, but what if your lectures are recorded?
Money. That's not a film.
All right. That doesn't count.
Would you say that an exam paper counts as a book?
Does a text...
No, but I'd say any... Like a textbook, yeah.
Okay, I guess that's got book in the name.
I just think that you come across more books than you do films, even if I'm not reading as many books as films.
Okay.
I think I'd not read another book because in the past, like, 5 years, I don't think I've read many books, and they've all been non-fiction. So
if it didn't incept in my life, I would definitely pick never read another book. Just because I've not become much as a book, but I'm just in a book lull at the moment. It's the only thing. I'm coming back though through, as always, after my lull, I start reading comics again, and then I read books. Is usually what happens.
5 year book lull.
Yeah, and then I burn out again.
So what we're really saying is I'm the only true Kino.
Said I'd never read another book. I love watching movies. You know, and how would
okay,
I?
We're true Kino.
We're true Kino.
I hate watching films. I just suffer through 150 a year.
Bride and Prejudice was like walking on Lego for you.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So write in to EOV email and tell us what you would have done for those things.
Oh, actually, also, maybe you could email in your would you rathers.
That's true. Email us in a would you rather, and we will read it on air and answer it.
There's not many of these cards.
Yeah, well, there's tons, but we've done most of them. We've done off air, so.
Send in yours, please.
Kino one specifically.
Send in Kino specific would you rathers.
That would be
incredible. Would you rather, I don't know, Tarkovsky didn't die from radiation poisoning, or someone else
he
didn't
did.
Die.
Or he did.
I'd rather he did. Because he might have just put out loads of mid-films.
and you would hate it if Tarkovsky... Imagine if people
were... Tarkovsky's legacy.
Tarkovsky stayed alive and everyone was just posting L fell off Bozo.
Tarkovsky was still alive and he just went into anime.
He sat crying in his bedroom looking at letterboxed reviews saying mid.
he got 20% Rotten Tomatoes and fucking offed himself.
Wow. I guess I would prefer he died of radiation poisoning.
Speaking of radiation poisoning,
it's time for recommendations. Right, we've got one.
We're going to recommend Kangaroo Jack.
Kangaroo Jack.
No, the Australian. Oh, Benjamin.
You're getting your kangaroo films mixed up.
Oh, what? Where?
But this one did have a kangaroo in it.
Yes.
And an axolotl.
And what the Australian film we're going to talk about is Talk to Me. It's the spooky. Ollie's been possessed.
I let you in.
Oh, thanks, Ben. Wink. And this is a cheeky Aussie horror movie. I think it was distributed by A24, but I don't know.
I think so, but there was no logo. There were about a million before the film started, not A24.
That's how you know it's indie, because there's 100
it's got
places.
Funding from tons of different sources.
Yeah, loads of sources gave them £1,000 or something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, I'm glad they did. Yeah. This was pretty good.
It was good.
Which is why we're recommending it on Entertainment of Excellence.
A group of high schoolers get this pan that's maybe just porcelain, maybe there's a real hand in it. And then if they hold the hand and they say, talk to me, ghost talks to them in it. And then they can go I'll let you in. And then the ghost possesses them for a bit, but only for 90 seconds, or they can't go over. Because then they might want to stay.
It's true. How did they discover that?
Don't know. I think it was written on the hand.
Well, Matt, was it the guy at the start?
Yeah, the other guy at the start that tried to kill his brother.
Yeah, I know, but how did they know it was 90 seconds was the cutoff point? Because if he'd have done it for 2 minutes, say, they wouldn't then go, it must be 90 seconds.
Don't know.
Oh, well, trial and error.
Yeah, trial and error,
that
I guess.
That was just the 50th guy in the train.
And it's genuinely got good characters. It's got it's good humor at the start as well. And it really gets you to like these characters so that you can then get absolutely your heart torn out of you.
It's pretty down with the kids.
It's quite down with the kids.
Because it's directed by some YouTubers.
Oh,
it's got quite a good blend of some references that would make you, unless you're a 12-year-old, you kind of cringe a little bit. But it's not it's not like a bunch of like 50-year-olds going, oh, what's cool with the kids? Mm. It's like, what are people this age actually probably into? And it's kind of cringe, let's be honest.
And it's correct.
It's correct. Oh, it's good to watch.
It's pretty brutal. It's quite like...
Oh, it's, yeah, it's quite intense.
It surprised me it was a 15, to be honest.
Yeah. It's a proper... If you want a properly scary, miserable horror movie, this is for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't turn out amazing for everyone, but it didn't turn out as bad as I thought.
No.
I was slightly worried it would be just bleak, but it's okay. It will be okay. I promise. I'll hold your hand. But not the scary hand.
Yeah, the ending's good. It's not one where you're left a bit like disappointed by the ending.
No, it was good
and it's
end.
It's not really one you're left questioning either.
No, I think it's a nice
sort of like bow on the story.
It wraps up in a nice little bow. There's some bits I think are slightly unexplained. For example, how do they know the 90-second thing? But I think with these things, it's best not to get too bogged down in details.
Mm.
Exactly.
And what I was going to say something really insightful.
We'll just
have a kangaroo in it.
Oh, what a good point, Tom.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, it did have a kangaroo.
Yeah,
in it.
Yeah. Yeah. They hit a kangaroo and they sing Chandelier.
They do.
Probably better than the original.
Oh, it's got like stylish montages.
Yeah, that montage.
That's good.
Probably someone making out with a dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that exactly.
Toe sucking.
Yeah.
That was Ollie's favourite bit.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino, if you're out there and you haven't seen this film, you know.
Talk to me.
Don't talk to me. I don't want you near my feet. Creepy.
Sorry. But audio listeners, me and Ben just did the worst high five in history.
No, we did not. We did a weirder one like a few episodes ago.
Which is why you may not have heard anything. Good high five, nice Ben.
One. Video viewers know what's up.
Yeah.
So with that, you should subscribe to us on YouTube, and we're on Spotify now with the video and everything.
Leave a like.
Leave us a 5-star review, please. That would really help us
on
out.
Your podcast, you can just do it in app now on your podcast app of choice.
You can.
Spotify have it now. Have you seen that? You can just go and give 5 stars.
You can. And if you want to give us a 1-star review on something like Apple Podcasts, where you can leave a review, leave us a bad one, and we'll read it and tell you why you're wrong on her.
Yeah, but if you could leave the bad ones on other people's podcasts, but write like 2EOV podcasts. If you leave it on like the Off Menu podcast or something like that.
Yeah, because we listen to every podcast because we say films, TV, all of it.
Exactly, I listen to every.
We
podcast.
Consume every bit of media,
so we'll look at the reviews. We also look at the reviews for that.
Yeah,
or you could leave your bad review on a comment to the YouTube upload of Mirror by Tarkovsky.
Yeah,
you know? Things like that. We'll read it.
Or the YouTube upload of Playtime.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think Bride of Prejudice has a YouTube upload. Sorry,
no.
But just on like IMDb. Leave a 1-star review and be like, EOV podcast episode on Bride of Prejudice.
Yeah,
was bad.
If you go into your notepad on your computer and you type https://www.entertainmentofexcellence.weebly.com, then you write your thing. It will appear on our website.
Yeah. Or send us an email.
Oh,
yeah, and
entertainmentofexcellence@gmail.com.
And with that, Tom, I believe you have a catchphrase.
Oh, God, I didn't think of a catchphrase.
When do you ever think of a catchphrase?
The catchphrase is no life without Bride and Prejudice.
Red.
All right, see ya.
No life.
What did you say? Red.
Presented by Ollie Luff, Tom Sweeney, and Ben Stinson. Music by Tom Sweeney and Ben Stinson. Audio engineered by Ben Stinson at Longwater Productions. All rights CR, created by Al Wright, Sr. All rights, brackets, CR. Close brackets, reserved.